The dog took another crippled lurch forward, pulling Huddy's arm out straight like a flag in a high wind. He was inside now, howling and whining, lurching to get forward and pissing everywhere like a pup, pissing in terror.
"I know it's not," Kurt said. "You were right to begin with, and I'll give you a written apology if you want. Just get him the fuck out."
Huddy tried to reel Mr. D back in, but he was a big dog, about 90 pounds, and he didn't want to come. Kurt had to lay on with him in order to get D going in the right direction. In the end, they dragged him out on his side, D fighting and howling and gnashing the air with his teeth the whole way. "It was like pulling a sack of polecats," Sandy would say later. When the dog was at last clear of the door, Curtis slammed it shut. The second he did, Mr. Dillon relaxed and stopped fighting. It was as if a switch in his head had been flipped. He continued to lie on his side for a minute or two, getting his breath, then popped to his feet. He gave the troopers a bewildered look that seemed to say, "What happened, boys? I was going along good, and then I kind of blanked out."
"Holy fucking shit," Huddy said in a low voice.
"Take him back to the barracks," Kurt said. "I was wrong to ask you to let him inside there, but I'm awful worried about Ennis."
Huddy took the dog back to the barracks, Mr. D once again as cool as a strawberry milkshake, just pausing to sniff at the shoes of the troopers who had helped search the perimeter. These had been joined by others who had heard Mr. D freaking out and had come to see what all the fuss was.
"Go on in, guys," Sandy said, then added what they always said to the looky-loos who gathered at accident sites. "Show's over."
They went in. Kurt and Sandy watched them standing there by the closed shed door. After a while, Huddy came back without Mr. D. Sandy watched Kurt reach for the doorknob of the shed door and felt a sense of dread and tension rise in his head like a wave. It was the first time he felt that way about Shed B, but not the last. In the 20-odd years that followed that day, he would go inside Shed B dozens of times, but never without the rise of that dark mental wave, never without the intuition of almost glimpsed horrors, of abominations in the corner of the eye. Not that all of the horrors went unglimpsed. In the end, they glimpsed plenty.